listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
About more than just, you know, a big family dinner and maybe hunting Easter eggs with the kids or grandkids or something like that. I mean, that's all great. That's all fun. But we have to remember what the point of Easter is. Guys, Easter is not for us. Easter was for us when we gave our hearts to Jesus. Easter is for those that don't yet know the power of his love. Amen? And so for us to really grasp what Easter means, we have to take our time and really look at what it means to people outside of I was going to say these four walls, but this one round wall. So that's what we'll talk to you guys about tonight. That's what the video was about. And that, you know, he talks about, you know, invite me in. You're going to see me this week. You're going to spend time around me this week. You're going to see people that need Jesus. You're going to see people that were just like you and were just like me before we met the Lord. And, you know, I dare say that most of us in here tonight, if not all of us, know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And, man, that is amazing. And if you don't, we'll give you the opportunity before you leave tonight to make that decision. Because let me tell you, if you haven't made that decision yet, it is a decision that it will be the number one most important decision of your entire life. More important than who you're going to marry, more important than your career choice, more important than whether you're going to have children or not. It is the single most important decision in your life. And that's what we need to communicate to the people around us on an everyday basis. Amen? So tonight, like I said, we want to talk a little bit about evangelism. And, you know, I was thinking about evangelism. Pastor Gabriel and I were talking today about just the different facets of sharing your faith with people. And I was thinking about when we started the campus in Auburn, for those of you that may be, you know, somewhat new to Gateway or don't know the story, for about a year, me and Pastor Gabriel and our youth pastor at the time, Pastor James Powell, and most of the time, Pastor Mike and Miss Sue, well, I guess every time, they just didn't drive down with us most of the time. They couldn't handle all the craziness on the van going down to Auburn every week. But we went down for a year on Monday afternoons to Auburn to do a church service on Monday nights. We would do our service here on Sundays, go take a break on Sunday afternoons, do our staff meeting on Monday mornings, load everything in the van, and go straight to Auburn and do it all again Monday night, load it all back up, and come right back up to Birmingham and get back, what, 11:30, 12 o'clock most of the time? And that was our week. I mean, that was our two-day span for a year. Well, we got to talking at one point during that, and we decided, you know, it's very important that we not only encourage our people to evangelize their world and to reach out and all that stuff. See, pastors, sometimes we get a little insulated against the world, I guess you'd say, because, you know, we don't work most of the time. If you're a full-time pastor, you know, you work around Christians. You're around Christian people all the time. I said we don't work. I should have said we don't work at a job with non-Christian people. That's what I meant to say. Trust me, we work. But you know, so we kind of get insulated. So we got to talk in the staff meeting for a while there, and we're talking about, you know, it's really important that we find ways to share our faith, that we don't just encourage our people to do it, but that we are actively sharing our faith with people, whether that's at a gas station or a restaurant or in the park or at the grocery store. People are going to be looking for something, and it's up to us to give it to them, and not just on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night from a pulpit. And so we got to talk about that, and we were on our way back from Auburn one Monday night. We pulled up, but we had this halfway point. You know, we knew that this gas station we stopped at every single time. We knew where it was. We could see it coming in the distance, and I would always drive the first leg down there, and then me and Gabriel would swap, and he'd drive that leg back, and then I would always drive the leg coming back, and we'd always stop at this gas station. And so we pulled in this gas station, and this lady was behind the counter, and we were not really talking or anything, just your normal, you know, gas station visit, I guess, getting a drink and a piece of gum or something. And the thought kept going through my head, man, I feel like I really need to say something to this lady about the Lord. And so I said, as we were kind of paying everything, I think it was just me and Gabriel in there at the time. And there was a couple of other people in the gas station. And I looked at the lady and I said, listen, you know, we're pastors. We're starting a church in Auburn. We've got a church in Birmingham. I said, is there anything that we could pray with you about? I mean, this is like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Have never met this woman before in my life. She says, yes. Man, I'm so glad you asked. I just lost my dad. And I'm trying to study for finals, and I just can't get it all going in my head. Can you please pray for me?" And so Gabriel and I just stopped right there, and we started praying for this lady. It was kind of funny because another lady in the store comes over, and she starts praying with us, like speaking in tongues over this lady. And we're like, "All right, come on. It's awesome. Don't know who you are, but thank you. That's awesome." But so we took a second out of our day to someone that we had never met and said, "Look, is there something that I can do for you? Is there something I can pray with you about?" See, it's not always about giving money. It's not always about giving people something or doing something tangible. Sometimes it's just about showing the love of Jesus in a way that's going to bless someone. If we see, the problem comes to this. We all have our reasons that we don't evangelize, that we don't share our faith, right? Whether that reason is fear, I mean, you know, sometimes we're scared Sometimes we're scared of rejection. You know, it's such an easy word. Sometimes we're scared of rejection, you know. We're scared of what someone's going to say to us. What are these people going to think about us? You know, if it's someone that we know very well, if it's a friend, if it's a best friend, if it's a spouse or a mom or a dad or maybe even a child, or brother or sister, someone that you know in your life, sometimes the thought can be very strong in your head of, "Well, what are they going to think about me? Man, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm some nutty Christian that you know, thinks that the world is all about Jesus all the time," which we all know it is. But you know what I'm saying? All these thoughts go through your head. You know, you don't want them to think you're weird, right? Jim, you don't care. But fear can be a very real factor in all of our lives when it comes to sharing our faith. Man, I remember one time, Jim, we went out to, if y'all don't know Jim McChesney, y'all need to get to know Jim McChesney. He's awesome. I mean, he will bring your faith level up a notch. I remember we were going over to Cloudland Canyon a couple years ago. Remember that, Jim? And that wreck happened right outside that gas station. And man, gas stations again. And so the wreck, this little wreck happened, a little fender bender. You know, they're getting out looking at their car, and you can tell their tension's kind of high. Well, we're just there getting gas, and Jim takes off across the parking lot, man, and he's like, "Let me tell you about Jesus, man. Here's this cross and all this stuff." And I'm like, "Man, that's awesome. Come on, Jim." The thing is, guys, we have to have our eyes open for opportunities to share the faith, because we can get so consumed with reasons not to. I'm the same way. It's scary to share your faith. But let me remind you of something. It's not your reputation on the line. It's God's reputation on the line. If God told you to speak, then speak. And I can promise you that God told you to speak. I can swear to you that God told you to speak. You know, there's, like I said, there's multiple reasons. Maybe one of the reasons is we have unreal expectations of what evangelism really means. We all do that. We say, you know, "Oh man, I've got to win the world." We don't have to win the world. We have to win just one. There you go. Look for just one. Don't start with the world. The world is way too big. Start with your world. Find someone in your world that you can spend your time with, that you can pour your life in. Because I promise you, the best way to evangelize is not saying, "Hey, let me tell you about how bad you are. Let me tell you this and that." It's just living your life in a way that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can learn to live every day that glorifies Jesus and to take time to spend with that one person and make an effort with that one person, then we're going to start seeing that one person start to ask questions. We're going to start seeing that one person start to change the way they think. And eventually they're going to start coming to church with you. And eventually they're going to start giving their heart to Jesus. But you know what? Even if they don't, you're still planting seeds.
Right. Amen.
It's up to one to plant, but it's up to another to water, and it's up to another to reap. You may not always see the reap of the harvest, but the seed that's planted makes a huge difference. We can't have unreal expectations when we go to start witnessing to someone. See, when we walked into that gas station, Gabriel, now we didn't try to go to the five people that were in the gas station and say, "Hey, can I get everybody's attention for a second?" No, we zeroed in on one. Just one. Found one person. Maybe it's just we're lazy. Ever thought about that? We just don't want to. Jesus doesn't invade our lives on an everyday basis. And that's not good. Jesus never came and died on a cross through an excruciating death that he begged his Father not to make him go through so that he could be an inside the church God. Now get that. why would Jesus have come all this way, stepped out of heaven, robed himself in flesh, walked through that garden, cried and screamed out saying, Father, please don't make me do this. I don't want to do this. If there's any other way, God, don't make me do this. But nevertheless, if this is what you think is best, I'll do it. But if there's any other way, guys, he was fully human. Would you want to go through what Jesus went through? So why would he come and he would go through that and he would go through the beating that he took within an inch of his life and he hung on that cross with spikes shoved through his hands and his feet so that he could be an in the church God that we don't let invade the community that we live in? Amen? It's not about sitting in these chairs. It's about walking out these doors and saying, I found the answer. It's like having the answer, the cure for cancer, and just keeping it in your pocket. We have something much more powerful than a cure for cancer. And it's time we stop being lazy and start letting Jesus invade our lives on an everyday basis. Amen. See, God is very specific that he has called us to reach out to our world. Amen? He has. Over and over in the Word, we see that God himself, through Jesus, is telling us, you need to do this, you need to do that. Think about the Great Commission in Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, and this is not just speaking to the 12 disciples, he's speaking to all of his disciples. And he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given to you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So when you're scared, remember God's with you. He called you. He's not going to tell you to do something and leave you alone about it. If he calls you, he goes with you. Jesus is telling this parable to his disciples about, it's called the parable of the great feast. And he talks about it in Luke chapter 24, verse 23. And he's talking about the master. And he sends his people out to tell people to come in to the feast. And the people won't come. And the house isn't being full. And so he says, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. That's a parable for us. God is saying, I want my house to be full. It's not for the rich. It's not for the well-to-do. I mean, of course, it's for those people. But if they're not going to come, it's up to us to go out into this world and say, guys, we have found something that's amazing. Come. Come now. God said, compel them to come in. Not just go ask. He said, compel them. Man, I did this when I was a teenager. We had this skit. Man, I loved doing it. I even did it up through when I was a youth pastor. We redid it in my youth group. It was called Praying the Word. And it was talking about reading the Bible, and you're supposed to pray like the Bible says. But it was really funny because we had these three different scenes, and people would always mess them up because it was like these new Christians. And so this guy said, look, read this verse, pray exactly like it says, and you'll be great. And one was like Galatians, I think it's 5:19, where it says, my little children of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. And so, you know, the guy's like rolling around on stage, acting like he's having a baby while he's praying. It was really funny. But there was this one, this was the verse, you know, that says, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And I'll never forget it. We always had this little kid that played this guy. I mean, little guy, little 12-year-old. And he would get all excited. He was like, I'm going to compel him. That means like, make him. I'm going to make him come in. And he was like getting all pumped up and stuff. And this guy walks in. We always use like the biggest dude in the youth group, right? I mean, like, you know, linebacker, massive, like, you know, 6'3". This other kid's like 4'2", you know. And he would come by. And the kid would like bump him as he walks by. He's like, hey, will you go to church with me? And the other guy's like, no. And then he turns around and he goes, wait, I think I will go to church with you. And he says, that's what I thought. But then we freeze it and we back it up. And it's like, you know what you think you saw, but let me show you what really happened in slow motion. And then we turn the Rocky music on, you know, and there's like walking in slow motion and the little kid's like, pah, pah. And he's like uppercutting him. And the guy is like huge, right? And so then he's like being dragged off. And he's like, I think I will go to church with you. Okay, I don't know what that really had to do with anything. But the point is it's a funny skit. And we're talking about compel them to come in. Don't punch people when you're compelling them to come in. The point is, God wants us to make people come to church with you. Well, how do you make someone come to church with you? You don't get in their face. You don't beat the tar out of them. You don't, beat them down with your words. You don't, you don't put them down. You don't judge them. You don't do any of that stuff. You show the love of Jesus Christ in your life so bright and so strong that they can't help but want what you have. That's how you compel people. Now, yes, you use your words. You talk. You speak. You say, man, come with me. Come with me. We're going to have a blast, man. We don't just sit here and it's not boring. We have fun. We meet in a skating rink, for Pete's sake. It's amazing. You need to come to my church. Yes, use your words, but use your life before you use anything else. Acts 1:8 says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God called us to be witnesses of his love and what he's done in our lives. If you don't know what to say to someone, if you don't know what to say to someone to witness to them about the love of Jesus, the best place to start is your own story. And you may say, man, I don't really have a story. I've kind of grown up in church. I've been a Christian most of my life. And I was never like, you know, out, way out there in the drugs and all that stuff. That's one of the greatest stories ever. Man, God has kept you. God has watched over you. He's protected you. Use your own story to start conversations. So if we're supposed to reach out to our world, then how do we do it? And I want to read you the story of Andrew and Peter from John 1:35-42. It says this, the following day, John, which this is John the Baptist, was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around, saw him following, and said, what do you want? They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him for the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. And then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Okay, so there's three things we need to take away from this. Three things that are going to help you reach out to your world. Three things. Number one is this. Andrew followed Christ. Andrew followed Christ before he did anything else. According to verses 35 through 40, he was following John, looking for Jesus, looking for the Messiah. When John said, there he is, Andrew left John and went and followed Jesus. He spent the day with him. He went to his house. He hung out with Jesus before he went and did anything else for anyone else. Guys, we have to spend time with Jesus. One of the things that Pastor Mike tells us young guys on staff here is that it's so much easier to operate out of an overflow than out of a want. If we don't stay in our word, we're not going to be good for anything, much less telling someone about Jesus, because you're not going to have anything to say. You have to spend time with Jesus to be able to know him well enough to tell someone else about him. You can't ask me to tell someone about President Obama other than he is the President of the United States and he was a Democrat. And that's it. Okay, but my point is, I don't know him. I haven't spent time with him. I know who he is. I know that he leads our country right now. I know what he looks like. But I don't know him. The point is, guys, before we can tell people about Jesus, we have to know him. We need to follow him every day. We need to be able to know when he's speaking to us. We need to be able to know what his word says. We need to be able to know that when we pray, he listens. We need to be able to know that everything that we do is being guided and set in motion through the love of Jesus Christ, through his hand that's working in our lives. If we can't learn to follow, we're never going to be good enough to lead someone else. There's tons of books on leadership. There's very few on followership. But before you can lead, you better learn to follow. So Andrew followed Jesus before he did anything else. So the first thing we have to remember is you've got to follow. You've got to follow Jesus before you do anything else to win anyone. You've got to follow. The second thing is this. Andrew went and found his brother, not a stranger. Okay, now, We had a long conversation about this in the office today. Andrew went and found Peter and said, Peter, we found the Messiah. Okay, he didn't go, you know, running into the town and go, hey, guys, we found the Messiah. You that I've never met and you over there, he went into his brother and said, Peter, I found him. Okay, here's the thing we have to remember. Everybody knows somebody, okay? Just because, you know, you don't know her, maybe, doesn't mean that she doesn't know her. You follow what I'm saying? If you bring someone to church, then they're going to bring someone to church. You might not know the person they bring to church. Nobody is a stranger to everybody. You follow what I'm saying? Nobody's a stranger to everybody. The point is this. You find that one person that you know that's already in your life, that you can spend time with, that you already have a relationship with, that needs Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you know someone in your life that needs Jesus Christ right now? You can think, you know, there's someone in my life that needs Jesus Christ. I can picture their face. I know who they are. They may be completely closed to the idea of Jesus Christ right now. Or they may be completely on the edge and ready to jump and accept him. But 99% of the hands in this place went up. Don't run to the random people. I mean, obviously, tell anybody you feel like that needs to know Jesus, tell them about Jesus. But the first place you need to go to are the people you already have a relationship with, because they're ripe for the picking. They know you. They know your heart. They know who you are. They know what you're about. Hopefully, they know that you're about Jesus, but they know you. So go find people that you already know. Andrew went and found Peter. It was his brother. He went and found his brother. He didn't find a random guy. Find someone that you know. So number one that we can learn from this story is follow Jesus. Number two is find someone that's close to you already. Find someone you already have a relationship with. And the last thing is this, in verse 42, Andrew brought just one person, Peter, to Jesus. He didn't just invite him. He brought him. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. He went and found Peter and said, Peter, we found the Messiah. Come on, come with me. Let me take you to him. And he did. And Jesus, that's where the relationship between Jesus and Peter blossomed. At that moment, that's when Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, your name is Simon, but from this point forward, I'm going to call you Cephas, which means rock. Have you ever thought what would have happened if Andrew never went and got Peter? We have some amazing stories of Peter in the Bible. Some awesome things that Peter did. Some crazy, whacked out things that Peter did. But man, what would have happened if Andrew never went and got Peter? What's going to happen if you never go get that one person in your life? You know these people around you. The people you may think are just a lost cause may be people that are ready to bust down the gates of hell if we will just invite them in. Bring them to an altar and say, Jesus is what you're looking for. Because he'll change your life. He'll turn everything on its head. So we follow Christ first. We look for someone we already know. And we bring them, not just invite them. Man, I know this is Easter. We're going to get you guys to invite people to church. But in a regular day, in a regular course of your life, you need to be inviting and bringing people. But they have a car. Great. Offer. Hey, man, you want to ride with me? You want to pick you up? Just knowing that you're serious enough not just to say, hey, you want to come to church with me? It's a big deal. People need to know that we care. So the end of that story, you know, I was telling you about when Gabriel and I were in that gas station with that girl. We prayed with her. We came back a couple of weeks later, and she was working in there again. And we got to talking, and she said, man, thank y'all so much for praying for me. It meant so much. Everything has turned around in my life from that night on. And I don't know if she ever went to church. I don't know what happened to that, but I can tell you this. I knew that I had done what God told me to do. Gabriel knew that we had done what God told us to do. I'm not saying you're always going to see great things come out of you sharing your faith with people. You may get a door slammed in your face. You may get people to cuss you out. You may get people that will never want to hear what you want to say. But you're always going to have an impact. The Word says, that the Word of Jesus Christ will never return void. When you speak life, when you speak these words that are written in this book, when you tell the story that's right here through your own eyes, when you talk about what Jesus did in your life, on the outside, you may get met with coldness, you may get met with rejection, but I promise you, it will make a difference. It will. See, if we can learn just to bring one person to Jesus, and then another, and then another, it becomes a lifestyle. You remember the story of the 5,000, the feeding of the 5,000 in the Bible? You know, the little kid had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, came to Jesus, said, "Here's my lunch." You know he didn't do that on his own. You want to know who brought him? Andrew. See, it become a lifestyle. He brought Peter. He brings this kid to Jesus. See, when you start bringing people to the King and you start seeing lives being changed, you start seeing people being redirected, feet being pulled out of the mud and the muck of life and set up on a rock, it starts beginning to be a lifestyle. It starts becoming addictive. You want people to come see what you found. So the question that I want to end with tonight is this. What would happen if we all just brought one? Just one. Not 5, not 10, not 2. What if we all just brought one? Just one.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.